Today is the second Sunday of Easter. The scripture lessons are from Acts chapter 5, verses 25 through 42, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and the Gospel of John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Today's message is titled, Jesus is the Christ. Hear the testimony from Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Then someone came and said, Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts, teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God had exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him, and he was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple court and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Here ends our reading from Acts, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Peter writes, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Here ends the reading from 1 Peter. The Holy Gospel according to St. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Prayer of Martin Luther. Fear. Fear. Fear filled the disciples. Hiding behind locked doors. John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The doors were locked for fear of the Jews. Fear, phobos. It means panic, flight, terror. It literally means to flee, to withdraw, as one does with phobias. Yes, phobias comes from the word phobos. I mean, it's so terrified. You will do everything to get away. There's dread. There's fright. I mean, this kind of fear is what had hold of the disciples. They were terrified. For just a few days ago, they were there. A few days ago, they were eyewitnesses to what happened to Jesus, their teacher, the one they loved. Taken in the darkness of night, from the garden by guards and a mob, from the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and teachers of the law of the Sanhedrin. Torches, swords, spears, chains dragged Jesus off into the darkness of the night. John and Peter followed along and watched what happened. As the hours passed, Jesus eventually taken to Pilate. And then Pilate presented Jesus to the people after being beaten and mocked. Hearing the cries of the crowd, manipulated by the leaders. These crowds a few days earlier were shouting praises and hosannas with palm branches and laying down their cloaks before him. Now twisted by the hate of their leaders, they joined in the shouting of crucify him, crucify him. More beatings, a crown of thorns. Such beatings, his face was disfigured from the beatings. This rugged, muscular carpenter was so weak. Jesus stumbled so many times carrying his cross. Another was accosted and forced to carry the cross for Jesus. The other two criminals, they didn't stumble. They didn't need another to carry their crosses. Only Jesus was so brutalized, he needed help. This is what the Jewish leaders did to Jesus, and Pilate and his centurions did to Jesus. This is what the crowds joined in demanding too. John, along with many of the women, were there watching as Jesus' life ebbed away as he hung on the cross. Images, emotions, so indelibly etched into the memory, they will never be forgotten. Fear from those images, so fresh in their minds, of Jesus walking the way of suffering. Suffering. Such a wonderfully good and gentle, loving man. Suffering. They did this to him. What will they do to them? Fear. Most certainly fear filled them all. Though the morning news of the empty tomb brought them out briefly from behind the closed locked door, not fully understanding, though John believed, still not understanding. So quickly behind the locked doors, they quickly went back. They are there behind locked doors on the first day of the week. The evening comes, and under the cover of darkness, it's usually when dastardly deeds are done. What will happen this night to them if they, the disciples, are found out? What will happen to them this evening? For the Sabbath is past. What will happen to them, even though the doors are locked and secure? Jesus appears. Jesus arrives in their midst, and terror grips them such that Jesus says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." He says it to calm them down. But the words are not enough. And without delay, Jesus shows the disciples the scars that remain in his hands and in his side. John chapter 20, verse 20. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Rejoiced, then, the disciples, having seen the Lord. I don't know how to adequately relate how great this joy truly is. This rejoicing. Seeing your beloved one alive after being dead. It's one of those you had to been there type of moments. Hearing of the event will never be the same as being there. You just had to be there to understand. They rejoiced in seeing the Lord alive. Thomas missed out. He wasn't there. He missed out in this moment. And no convincing of their words. It's, you just had to be there. I wasn't there. I won't believe, Thomas. Rejoice then, disciples, of seeing the Lord. And so all during the following week, you have the group of rejoicing disciples, And then you have Thomas adamantly refusing to listen to the testimony of the others as they said, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas wanted what they had, what the others had, to see the scars, to see the Lord. "Until I see, I won't believe." Thomas also wanted to touch the scars. John chapter 20, beginning of verse 24. "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it.'" That went on all week. John chapter 20, now at verse 26. "A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe.'" Couple of things to pay attention to here. The physicality of Jesus, the flesh and bone of Jesus. They're there, but they're different. Jesus is able to come and go, appear and disappear. Locked doors don't matter. He comes and goes freely. No constraints on him, anything, in any manner. Jesus appears again. Jesus comes again. And also note that Jesus is fully aware of Thomas's demands. No one had to tell Jesus that Thomas wanted to do, how Thomas demanded to touch the scars from the nails and the spear tip, how unless Thomas touched these, he would never believe. Jesus just turns to Thomas, invites Thomas to bring his finger and touch the wounds. "Thomas, bring your finger and touch." Thomas responds with faith, not his fingers, but with faith. He responds with faith, "The Lord of me, the God of me. The Lord of me, the God of me." Now, a few short weeks later, after being clothed with power from on high, that is the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, we now find Peter and the disciples proclaiming Christ in the temple. The high priest and his associates, the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy and arrested the apostles. Though commanded not to talk about Jesus, the apostles couldn't help but speak of Jesus. You find this in Acts chapter 4. "Then they," that is the Sanhedrin, "called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" From the Greek word order of verse 20 of Acts chapter 4. "Not are able for what we have seen and heard not to speak." They're not able not to speak. Literally, not able not to speak. And why not able not to speak? For what they have seen and heard is emphatically true. This is what they said to the Sanhedrin after healing the crippled man, which is recorded in Acts chapter 4, healing the crippled man in Jesus' name. So we'll go back, Acts 4, beginning of verse 10. "Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands healed before you. He is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.' When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. From fear behind locked doors to boldness. Boldness in public and boldness before the Sanhedrin. What happened? They saw Jesus alive. Physically, flesh and bones alive. From fear to courage they went. And they said, boldly said before the Sanhedrin, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. Must. The Greek is dea. It means necessary. It means inevitable. And the way it's always used, it means absolutely necessary. Using an old English word you may be familiar with, it's behooves. Behooves. There is no other way. Only one way. Just as Jesus said, written in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Paying particularly close attention to what was said just before, the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified. That's in Acts chapter 4. The name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Crucified and risen. Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus Christ risen. This is why salvation is in no one else. Jesus, only Jesus is crucified and risen. Jesus is the Christ. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 30. Jesus did many other miraculous signs. So Jesus is giving a summary and a reason why he wrote what he wrote. That's what John writes. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now in those verses, in two places you heard the word may. May believe, may have life. Those two mays, they really come from the way we speak English. They are not present in the Greek words. Better said would be, but these are written that you believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you have life in his name. No iffiness of the word may being present. There is no certainty with the word may. These are written that you believe, and by believing you have life in his name. Certainty. Jesus is the Christ. There is no doubt about this. Thomas, after seeing the wounds, perhaps touching them, declares, my Lord, my God. To which Jesus responds, it's now John chapter 20, verse 29. Jesus said to him, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The Greek word translated as seen here means to see what is physically before one's eyes and at the same time perceive the spiritual reality that is present too. Jesus is physically there, flesh and bones, wounds and all, standing before you, Thomas. You see this. Now connect the dots. What is the spiritual reality present here also? And it's just as Thomas said, my Lord, my God. Now you and I don't have that physical reality standing before our eyes as the disciples did all those years ago. Yet we have the physical reality of their eyewitness testimony. We have the physical reality of their words written down proclaiming Jesus is the Christ. their words testifying, Jesus Christ of Nazareth was crucified, and this very same Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and as such, salvation is in no other name than Jesus Christ. This is a physical reality. The testimony is there. It's written down for you to see. Now, you connect the dots and perceive the spiritual reality behind those words and their testimonies. The spiritual reality of Jesus Christ physically and truly rising from the dead, which is that physical reality they told about too, and perceive the spiritual reality that Jesus truly is the Christ. Believe. Believe. You have the physical testimony. You have the eyewitness testimony of the physical reality that took place to show you the spiritual reality that's truly there. Jesus is the Christ. Believe. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is about 40 to 50 years later now. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We all who believe have this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the living dead. And again, this is written about 40, 50, 60 BC. So it's not 40, 50 years later, but it's before Peter was executed in Rome. So it's a short time later, but still want to see the time before their experience in Jerusalem recorded in John 20. And now Peter's letter to the churches. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope. Where does that living hope come from? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We, that's Peter's reading, we all who believe, we have this living hope. And this living hope comes through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. And then Peter goes on to write that this hope does not shield us from the trials of life. This hope carries us through them. Trials and sufferings, they come in life. This hope sustains us through them. This hope is not wishful thinking of, I hope I get. No, this hope, which the Greek word means a certainty, expectation of a certainty. It's not the usual way we use the word hope. I hope I get this for Christmas. Well, you may get it, you may not. That's not the way the Greek word expresses hope. It's a certainty. Expectation of a certainty. It's a sure thing, it's coming. It's a sure thing, it's coming. That's the kind of hope we have. 1 Peter chapter 1, now jumping down to verse 7 and following. These, that's all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now here's another reading, translation of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. This is the NASB 1995. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Very different than the NIV. Obtaining as an outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Is it the goal of faith or the outcome of faith? Well, goal is an acceptable word, but the way we use goal and the way goal functions, it usually means something you're reaching for. such as a sales goal. And as such, a sales goal has this iffiness. Sometimes you reach that goal and sometimes you don't reach that goal, or sometimes you reach that goal and oftentimes you don't reach that goal. This iffiness, this uncertainty of reaching the goal, it may cause someone to feel their faith. The faith in them is not strong enough. And not strong enough, and so they question their salvation. It's not the case at all here. It's not that case at all. Salvation is a certainty as an outcome of faith. Or you can say salvation is the purpose of faith. That's how it can also be translated, as purpose of faith. Believe and you will have life in His name. It's a certainty, or the consummation of faith. The consummation of faith, when it's brought to its fulfillment and completion and all that faith is meant to be, the salvation of your soul. The fulfillment of faith is the salvation of your soul. It's a certainty, just as that hope is a certainty. We began by singing Via Dolorosa today to remember Jesus chose to walk the way of suffering for us. Like the Lamb, the Messiah, Christ the King, walked that way of suffering out of love for you and me. All the way to Calvary. And at Calvary, where the blood that would cleanse the souls of all men was shed out of love for you and me. And soon we'll be singing, here is bread, here is wine, for in that cup is life forever. For the cup contains the blood of the new covenant, which is the forgiveness of sins, that we will proclaim until Christ comes. We will proclaim Christ crucified until He comes. Yet at the same time, at this very moment, Christ is with us here and now. Jesus is the Christ. He is the one, the only one, resurrected from the dead. Believe, Jesus is the Christ. And live forever. The salvation of your soul. Amen. Amen.